Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Now, you've seen it all over the news because, like, the epicenter of the worst place where all hell broke loose, flash flood storm, was Brookside Restaurant.
Yeah.
That dramatic rescue on the ladder, that was right there. Here's the owner of Brookside, Gary. Hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm doing okay. We're plugging along.
How bad is it?
Upstairs, main dining room, the lounge and bar are fine. Just a little mop up on that. There's a couple of structural things we got to take care of. The basement and the banquet room got pretty much wiped out. Lost a lot of stock and, you know, beer, wine, that kind of stuff. And our banquet room's got to get gutted and rebuilt.
How's the parking lot?
Back parking lot took a pretty good hit. Main one is okay. The property next door got badly damaged.
Yeah, that property next door where that ladder was, where they did that dramatic rescue of the woman and her dog, that property belongs to you, right?
Yes. I was my wife was almost hysterical because she thought something was going to happen to those people. The Beacon Falls Fire Department, a friend of mine, because I was home. I went home about noon. And then Southbury got flooded out, so I couldn't get out. Not that I could have done anything anyway, but a friend of mine, they were there, and some of the Nicole and other people that were there took control of the situation. Anyway, a friend of mine called Beacon Falls Fire Department, and they came over right away and rescued those people out of the house and some out of the restaurant. It was amazing.
How did they know to call Beacon Falls?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know if they called Oxford and Oxford rolled it over. I don't know.
Yeah. Have you seen? I'm sure you've seen some of the video of the force of the water running by window level past the restaurant.
Yeah. If you go down in the banquet room, we have a bar down there. The bar was floating, all the tables, you know, everything's just like it looks like a big bowl of spaghetti with everything, you know, thrown apart on it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Did you have flood insurance?
I did on the property next door. I did not on the restaurant. There's a couple of little things I can grab, but nothing significant.
Right. Has anyone talked about the FEMA money or any of that being able to help local businesses?
A gentleman from the town of Oxford stopped by yesterday. He has to do with the building department. He surveyed, he looked at the property, and he told me they're going to help us through with FEMA. And that kind of thing. Once they get going with it,
great. So your plan is to reopen as soon as possible.
My wife and I were talking last night. Maybe right after Labor Day.
Wow, that's aggressive.
That's a great turnaround. Yeah,
yeah.
I got great employees. I got great friends who are helping me. I got a company in there that's they're cleaning out the basement. Their guys work hard, crazy hard.
Yeah,
it's a horrible job, but they're doing a great job, and we're making very, very good progress.
Yeah, I'm looking at Channel 3 now. They're showing your place. I mean, it's, that area was really hard hit. That's Little River right there that runs along your parking lot, right?
Yeah. And we got, my father bought the restaurant in 54, and in 55, we got hit by the flood.
Wow.
And that whole area where the kitchen now is, right off the lounge, got wiped out. The whole parking lot, everything was gone.
Okay, well, so this isn't new territory for your family.
No, I've been flooded out. Maybe I don't know. Actually, we got flooded out in December. Remember that, or in January, we had a pretty bad rainstorm.
Right.
And I only got a couple of inches of water in the banquet room, a little bit. So it was just like a mop it up kind of thing. But it's happened several times.
All right, I was worried when I saw the place and the damage. I thought, I wonder if Gary's going to pack it in at this point.
I'm too far in now to pack it.
Hey, we'll see.
What else would you do? Exactly.
I have no idea.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. All right. Good. Well, if there's anything we could do, let us know. Let us, we'll do something on the air when you're opening to let everybody know. What have you talked to anyone in town about that road opening up? That's a.
No, I have not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just for us, but even like Rose has just opened down the street.
Yeah.
And now that it's hard to get to his place.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's just there's so many areas that are beat up. It's amazing. It's unbelievable.
That
I'm looking at this. I'm driving by this La Terraza, this little Mexican place in Oxford.
Just
opened. The guy just opened a month ago, and his parking lot shot.
Yeah.
Right.
Terrible.
I hope we get this road fixed as fast as possible and get these businesses back up and running.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
Gary, let me ask you a question. When you're in the kitchen on a Friday or Saturday and a ticket comes in and it has veal parm on it and then something healthy, do you know it's me and Jennifer?
Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, if there's anything we could do, let us know, Gary.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
All right.
Good to see you again.
Thank you, brother. Gary with Brookside. Woodbury firefighters are asking drivers to obey road closure signs.
Yes. Pay attention, people.
Really? Like, people are driving around these things? Like,
don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid. We have Woodbury Fire Marshal Janet Morgan on. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. How
morning.
Are you?
Morning.
Good. The question is, how are you? How's Woodbury?
Yeah.
Woodbury, we are very lucky. We only got the fringe of what Oxford and Southbury and Monroe and everybody down the other end got. But we still have the same problems that they have with people not paying attention when roads are closed.
How many roads are closed in Woodbury?
In Woodbury right now, we only have two roads, but the problem is their main arteries to get to Southbury and to get to 84. So it imposes on people to find another way. Route 6 is the main artery that goes to Southbury, and Transylvania Road, for our 3,000-plus citizens who live at Woodlake, can't go the normal way. And so those roads are closed for a reason, and people just don't understand that.
I saw a picture of a road that looks like it's just, you know, a river ripped through it.
Yeah.
And you could see a road closure sign and then tire tracks. Someone drove down into the thing and then drove up like they were off-roading.
Yep.
Correct. And that road is a natural berm dam that keeps a 13.5-acre pond that's about 10 to 18 deep throughout from going over that roadway and into a meadow and then going downstream and ruining homes. That road is so undermined, we couldn't see how far underneath. We've had structural engineers out there that said no one should be driving on this road. If that lets go, they're going to be swept away. And that's why those berms were put there. And there was a police officer sitting there, and he had to run and get more signs. And in the 10 minutes he's gone, someone did that.
Wow.
So right over the road.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, just not them, but what if somebody behind them is a first-time driver, is an elderly person, doesn't understand that that really shouldn't be done, and then those people are put at risk or harm and get washed away, and now we have to go find them.
Yeah.
Right.
So many bad
scenarios. Just because you didn't want to turn around and drive around the long way.
You're selfish.
Right.
That's why, yes.
Yeah.
You're selfish
right.
and stupid.
It is. And this isn't, and it's not just flooding. We get this, and it's not everybody. As everybody, grandparents will say, there's always a few bad apples. We have great people who understand why roads are closed. They go around. But this happens all, you can call any fire chief in the state of Connecticut, and they'll tell you this happens every event where we have to shut a road down. We get the great people who turn around. We get the people who tell us they know better. They'll drive right around us, and then when they get to the tree down or the wires down, they have to sheepishly drive back by us.
Right.
Or they'll yell at us. They'll scream
right.
at us.
It's the drive
you know?
Of shame.
Right.
Driving by, ah, here I am.
Right. I'm a dog.
Yeah, we tried to tell you, but,
yep.
you know, and or we'll put cones across the road. We'll put scene tape. We go through miles and miles of scene tape closing off roads. We get to the next scene, and somebody will call back and say, oh, they have already driven through your scene tape.
Wow.
So all we're doing is saying we're not trying to impose on you and say, you know, give you another 20 minutes roundabout. We're really trying to protect your life and all those that come behind you. So please, if a road is closed, take the 5 minutes to find a new road. Don't drive through the scene tape. Don't open the road. Think of somebody, your parent, your elderly grandmother, who might drive through that and get maimed or killed or worse.
Yeah.
You know, think of the people behind you.
And Janet, Woodbury has had a couple of water catastrophes there, right? The state
yeah.
police trooper who was trying to save someone got washed away. That was Woodbury, wasn't it?
Yes, he came around a corner and didn't realize that the road was flooded and drove into the road and was washed downstream and was killed.
And Chris Berman's wife as well. Was that Woodbury?
Yeah, she drowned, but that was due to a traffic accident. That was not due to a natural disaster.
Gotcha. But, you know, the water there is, like, you know, don't mess around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not just water. This could be a thunderstorm that rolls through and trees are down and power lines are down. We've had our you know, F1 hurricanes come through here, a tornado. So it's not just water. It's just because water brought it to everybody's attention again. But you can ask any fire chief. We can go out to any, even 2 o'clock in the morning, people will come upon, well, is the road closed? How come I can't go that way? And give us a hard time.
I like your voice of the dumb person.
It was accurate.
You have a good, you know, dumb person mocking voice.
I'm not mocking
anybody. I'm just, you know, it's, you know, let's use some common sense. I don't want to be out there, or my people don't want to be out there at 2 o'clock in the morning telling you to turn around. Or, you know, we're trying to be nice, say, hey, take a left, take a right, we'll get you around. But then we have the people who just really are mad at us because we're doing our job. And we're out there as volunteers. Remember, we're not getting paid to do this. We're out there trying to save your life and protect you.
Right.
So we're all there for respect for each other. And the other day, it just was not respect for what we Public Works had done, the police had done, we had done. We're just there to protect you. So, you know, use some common sense and say, okay, I'll find another way around today.
Thank you, Janet. How long have you been the fire marshal in Woodbury?
Well, I've been the fire marshal and the fire chief, and that's what I'm speaking to you today as is the fire chief, since 2004, but I've been in the fire department since 1980.
Wow.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I don't know if I should tell you this.
Uh-oh.
But I've met you several times on John Gee Godbout's property. As he was having some big, you know exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a Canadian. He liked big fires.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, we those probably weren't allowed where he was doing them, or they were a little bigger than they should have been. So that's why we come out and we try to explain what recreational burns are in the state of Connecticut. And sometimes we have to tell people a couple times, but, you know, it's okay. That's our job.
That's your job.
When you see it from a satellite, though.
But that's where I met you.
Well, I'm glad I met you.
Yeah. No, thank you for what you do for the community. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Janet Morgan, Fire Chief and Fire Marshal of Woodbury. Let's talk to Pete Hess here, Mayor of Naugatuck. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
I read something. You're encouraging people who don't have flood insurance who incurred damage to do what?
Well, we have several things. First of all, in Naugatuck and most towns, our team, our building inspector, our fire marshal, we do our own assessment of damage to homeowners. However, we now have a link where homeowners on their own can go online and register their damage. And this is very helpful to us because it increases the amount of our damages, which makes it, you know, much more likely that we'll get FEMA relief. And it also makes it easier for us to keep track and not miss someone who's been damaged. I could tell you this, we're trying as hard as we can to help the homeowners who are uninsured and the businesses who are uninsured get some federal relief. And it's a long, hard process, but in Naugatuck, our team, our federal delegation, our state delegation, everyone is really pitching in and fighting hard to help people with damages in their home and small businesses. You know, in Naugatuck, the real serious problems are sort of concentrated, and we have like 8 to 10 homes that are totally devastated, and we have 5 businesses that are out of business. So we're going to do everything we can to help them recoup their damages. So this online, I believe you've put it up. But there is a link for people to go online, register their damages. We will probably also contact you, but we want to get everything we can. So take photographs, document it, do everything you can to be able to prove you were damaged. And the other thing to remember is this is not minor damage. It's the word they use is major damage, but it's not just having some water in your basement. You know, it would be a furnace that needs to be replaced, an electrical service, things of that nature.
A deck washed off,
right. Most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so so this would really, really is the best way for homeowners or businesses to help themselves.
So, Mayor, if is every town doing this? Do you know?
Well, first of all, every town has to declare a state of emergency who wants to do it. So we declared a state of emergency during the storm because we knew right away it was major and that there would probably be a need for FEMA relief. So we did it right away. I'm sure every town that has been impacted has done it. If they haven't, they should. Their emergency management directors should know about this and be telling them what to do. It's sort of standard operating procedure when you have a disaster, but I would hope they're all doing it.
And then FEMA looks at all of these applications or reports or whatnot.
Yeah, so
they put a number together, then they give us what they feel is corrected, and it gets divided up. These homeowners might get some relief if they don't have flood insurance?
That's correct. I think the process is more of our senators and congresspeople convincing the president that we qualify for a federal disaster. That's really the big step.
Right.
Once that happens, then there will be an assessment of the damages, and they will, determine how much we got. The best example that I'm aware of is the tornado we had 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
That, came through Southbury toward Naugatuck and then went south. So we did the same thing then. And we were successful in receiving FEMA relief. I'm sure it wasn't everything we sought, but it was significant, definitely worth doing. And, I think everyone should really do a good job keeping track of everything they can to document their claim.
Awesome. Yeah. Great job, Mayor. Thank you. And thanks for coming on and let us know if there's anything we can do to help you or the community there in Naugatuck.
So, well, thank you, and publicize the link. That would be helpful.
Awesome.
You got it. Thank you. Mayor Hess, Naugatuck. A Sunday, I made a post, and I showed the water in the back of my lot, and I said, put your storm pictures here.
Yeah.
Little did I know what I was about to see. And one of the first posts that came up was a post from Stacy Williams, and it was raging water around her parents' house. And I mean, the house, AJ, has water on both sides of it, just raging. Like, it looks like a house was built in the middle of a raging river.
Yeah.
Stacy Williams is on right now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
How did the house do?
It's a total loss.
Oh,
it is. It's been in the family 6 generations. My great-great-grandfather built it, and my mother took it over back in 1969 and made it a full-time house and raised 6 of us kids there. They got married in the house. They've had a few weddings there. My father was a K-9 officer of Monroe and a first responder Sandy Hook school shooting. And my mother was a 30-year Sandy Hook school bus driver. So they've given back to the community. And to go through this in their 70s is pretty devastating.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's heartbreaking.
Yes.
This house,
yes, it is.
Is it still standing or is it totally gone?
It is. It is. A tree yesterday kind of split down into the house even more. So WTNH did a story on it yesterday, and they did an amazing job showing what the house used to look like to what it is today. Oh, it's pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Do you have flood insurance?
I don't think any of the materials inside the house are going to be covered.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
And I think the property is no longer rebuildable because it's washed away so much.
Yeah, I saw.
This is the second time the house is flooded out. In 1955, it also flooded out and was rebuilt again. So, yeah, it's been a little crazy.
Tough. And yeah. How are your parents doing?
They are besides themselves, you know, obviously. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I want to thank you guys for doing such an amazing job and helping that single mother and covering the stories that you guys have covered. I felt the same way as you, Chaz, when I was watching the news. It was a split second and then tax return. I'm like, am I living in a Twilight Zone right now? Like, you know, I live in Seymour, so it's, you know, watching everything, it's just been a horrible situation for so many people.
Total devastation. Is there anything we could do to help your parents?
Well, we have a GoFundMe up, of course, to try to help my parents. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know where, you know, that's just trying to get the valuables out of the house, but we can't even go in the house anymore. It's just unsafe.
Yeah.
You know, it's just unsafe. I found so many pictures yesterday through going down there in the neighbor's yard in the rocks. You know, it's just...
You're picking pictures up in your neighbor's yard.
Yeah, in the neighbor's yard. Yeah. My great-grandmother and my grandmother were the first two photos that I saw, which was kind of weird because both of them are no longer with us, but it was the first photo I found stuck on some tree, which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
It's a sign that they're with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So I appreciate you guys covering all this for all of us and so many people that are affected by this.
I feel helpless right now for your parents.
Yeah. They got married at that house, too. You know, it's just they've been through so much with everything. And at 70 years old, this is not what you want to do.
No. You kind of think that you're in the easy part of your life now, where you just kind of
enjoy it, kick back and coast.
Right. Exactly. Especially after raising six of us, they have 14 grandchildren.
Yeah, a lot going on there. Yeah.
A lot of stories in that house. A lot of parties. A lot of family times. A lot of it touched so many people. Everybody just loves coming down there, sitting by the brook. It was truly a magical place to be. It was beautiful.
So was your dad a Newtown police officer?
He was a Monroe canine officer
for
20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and we all went to Sandy Hook School. He went to Sandy Hook School, too.
Wow.
Yeah, he lived across the street. He was raised in Great Quarter Road, which is across the street from my mother's house.
In that video that you posted, Stace, it looks like you guys have just arrived and you're... The water's running strong on both sides of the house, about to envelop the house. And I think you say, why are they still here?
They were still in the house.
Yeah.
They were still in the house. And, you know, my father had mentioned, thank God that we showed, you know, my sister showed up down there. She lives up the street. And he said that he wouldn't be able to have gotten the two dogs, my mother and him, out with the current and the way it was that... If he was by himself, I don't know what would have happened, but it happened so fast. You could see the garage, the whole floor is gone. And that's feet deep. Like, the whole cliff is, it's a huge cliff. So for that water to be going through that garage was absolutely shocking that it was that high.
So I saw a picture of the house, and it looks like it's sitting in the middle of a riverbed, but that's what used to be the yard, right? The yard was just ripped away.
Yeah,
the yard is now all rocks. Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, so that driveway at my mother's house used to be horse and buggy days. It used to be Route 34.
Wow.
And they used it as a camp. My great-grandparents were from Bridgeport, and they used to come up to the camp to go camping for the weekends in the summers. And then it got built into a house. My mother took it over in 69 and been there ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, so a lot of history there.
That's a tough one.
A lot of years of history. Yeah, it's almost 100 years old, the house.
Well, that GoFundMe page, we're going to make it easy to find. And if folks want to donate to help these two people.
Thank you very much.
Stacy's parents have given so much to the community.
Yes, they have.
A police officer and a bus driver.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate you guys. You guys are amazing in what you do for so many people.
We're just happy to be here and to have the equipment to connect everybody.
Right.
I appreciate you very much.
Thank you, Stacy.
We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
All right, you too. I think we've all seen the video now of the house crumbling and just collapsing.
Yeah.
After the raging floods on Sunday. That house belonged to Randy, a single mom, emergency room nurse, and everything she owned was in that house. All of her belongings, gone. No flood insurance. Not even a building lot left to build on. If you've been watching the coverage, you'd see her septic tank is in the middle of that. AJ, the property is just a total loss.
Just finished, yeah.
She's on the phone right now, and I know it's a stupid question, but how are you doing?
I'm okay. It's hard to put into words. I'm okay because everything that is a loss can be replaced. And I'm okay because of my friends and my family and my community. So I'm okay.
That is one hell of a neighborhood there, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it breaks my heart to realize that I'm no longer going to be neighbors with these beautiful, hardworking, amazing, helpful people, but we're always going to be friends.
I know Tom Haynes, who's coming on the show in a little bit, has offered you a place to stay, a quarry walk in the apartments there. Are you going to take him up on that?
Yes. Yes, I am. It's a fantastic location for me to get my son to preschool, for me to jump on 84 to get over to work in Waterbury, so close to my father. I couldn't be more fortunate for that opportunity.
I remember when we talked to you, the GoFundMe page that, was it your cousin?
Yes, my cousin and Jessica Bersevage and Katie Rose Howard are really working hard on the Venmo, the Zelle, the GoFundMe, so they're handling that, yes.
It's great. Yeah. I remember when I first looked at it, the goal was $25,000, and then we talked and our vice president thought that it should be higher.
Yeah.
And you raised it, and we're at $129,000 now.
A little higher, $130,000.
I didn't even know. I had no idea it's that high.
Yeah.
You talked to your insurance person? Is there a chance you might have flood insurance?
He's coming out. I'm at the property now. So you might hear the construction in the back. They're working on the road finally.
Great. Nice.
He's coming out for you. There's more news crews down here. My father's down here. He's assessing the property. So
I feel proud, but also a little guilty that, you know, we brought a lot of attention to that part of Oxford. When I saw your house collapse and that house, you know, I drive by every day. I thought this is going to be it. This is a nurse.
Yeah.
A single mom who lost everything. And when we started posting pictures that magnetized you to this media scrutiny, not scrutiny, but media attention.
Yes.
That I think ultimately is a good thing because it's going to help people hear your story and help you get your life back together.
As long as it doesn't take away from the other people in this community who are suffering loss and damage. Everybody, we need to be looked at as a whole. Again, like you, I think we're getting at, yes, there is a lot of tension on myself and my property, but everybody needs to know that I'm not the only one.
Right.
So. See, this is the kind of person she is.
Yeah.
I talked to her a few days ago and I said, get me a list of the things you need. And she was more worried about everybody else.
Yeah.
You know? How's your boy doing?
I got to see him yesterday for the first time, and there's been people nonstop going to my father's with toys and books, and he's meeting all kinds of, they're strangers, but now they're his friends.
Yeah, lots of friends.
He's the there's all these people showing up with all these things, and you know, a lot of my extended family and, you know, friends were all convening at my father's. So, you know, people are really holding him up, holding me up. So
great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Is there anything else you need besides, you know, a house and everything in it?
You know, I don't even know. I just, you know, if we can continue to focus on this community and this area as a whole, you know,
right.
I appreciate what everybody's doing for me, but, you know, let's look at other people's and other situations as well. You want to hear a little something interesting? In Westport, found my sonogram in the water and contacted a news station and said, hey, this is a sonogram with her name on it. So the news crews just arrived, and I believe have the sonogram in tow. So when I hang up with you guys, I get to go see.
Wow.
Yeah, you told me this yesterday. I didn't want to talk about it on the air until I found out if you were comfortable mentioning it. But
that's incredible. I mean, how, you know, from Oxford to Westport?
Yeah.
To Westport.
Yeah. Yep.
The Long Island Sound.
Wow.
A sonogram. That is the picture of your, the earliest picture of your son, correct?
Yes. Wow. Yep. When I was pregnant, yeah, his little ultrasound.
Wow.
It's really a miracle to get that back. That's a very...
very personal
it's
thing.
A very important thing to have.
Yeah.
You know, until they mentioned it, the sonogram, there's so many things that haven't even crossed my mind yet, you know.
Right.
So yeah, so it's any little bit that I could get back, I guess. So, you know,
that's really, it's a miracle. I saw people, you know, we were all together yesterday at the site of the house, and I saw people kind of climbing into the house as far as they could without getting themselves into trouble.
Yeah, danger.
Grabbing
yeah.
stuff out.
Yeah, they pulled my parents' wedding album out. They pulled some of my plants out. I really appreciate that, but it also made me a little on edge because there's nothing worth, you know, anybody getting hurt or, you know, God forbid, even worse. So,
yeah,
right.
So. From here on out, I'm discouraging anything like that. So.
Gotcha.
But I appreciate that they did that.
We have that link up for the GoFundMe, and we also are doing an auction. Tom Cantone from Mohegan Sun is offering a pair of tickets and meet and greet passes to the two highest bidders on our Chesney Day Facebook page now. So they would each get two tickets and two meet and greet passes for Motley Crue. So I think right now the highest would be $1,600
wow.
and $1,500.
That's incredible.
Right?
People are great.
Yep, they are.
People in this community are great. And if there's someone listening who has a business and they're well-to-do, they'd like to help, this is a great way to get in there and really bid high for this. Every penny's going to go to Randy, her boy, and to help rebuild their life.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's incredible. I can't thank you, Chaz and AJ, and, you know, I don't even know where to begin to express my gratitude and thank you.
I was standing down there and you had neighbors flowing down from the hood and up on my street and around the area, and people have been coming and delivering food last night, and it's been a great effort. And, you know, it's a nice big hug. It's not going to replace everything, but, you know, it's nice to know your surrounding community cares about you.
Yep.
Without that support, I wouldn't be able to get through this.
Well,
for anybody in the community, anybody else who suffered loss, or, you know, I'm down here at the property, anybody in the surrounding area, there's still, you know, cases of water and Gatorade down here at the home. I, you know, we can hike it to anywhere. You know, I don't really know everybody's circumstances in this area, but if anybody can think of anything that I can do, let me know.
Listen to her.
Yep.
It's an ER nurse right
yep,
there. That's
exactly.
a nurse.
Yep.
Yeah. Nurse DNA at work. All right, Randy, I'm going to let you get to the things you need to, and I'll be in touch. I'm checking with people on this mortgage, and there's got to be more we can do.
Yes.
There's got to be more we can do. So we're working on that end for that.
Okay. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. Dylan Fearon, Channel 3. I escorted him down to Randy's house yesterday.
Nice.
That's right. Tough couple of days, but how are you guys doing?
Good.
Now, he, you know, AJ, like all of us, have seen the pictures, but when you get there, it's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, it's more impactful.
Yeah. I mean, you see, we all saw the video, right? We all seen the pictures, but when you get down there and you see one of, you know, three-year-old Riley's kids' books just lying in the water. You see some of the knickknacks that were rescued by some of Randy's great friends and neighbors. You see Randy's parents' wedding album, still wet, that was rescued from the water, and it just gives you a whole different perspective that this is at a totally different level than some of the other things that we've seen. And you just figure, how can we help? And I think you guys have done a great job. We tried getting the link out all night last night, you know, this morning, and I just saw it eclipsed $131,000. So
yeah,
it's fantastic. And as Chaz mentioned, it's not going to fix everything, but it's a big hug to help her out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Man.
I was going to, so Dylan had to give me a ride back to my house.
Oh.
And I got out, and the garbage cans are on the bottom of the driveway.
Oh, no.
And, I'm rolling them up, and Dylan's like, oh, let me help. I'm like, no, you're not here to
seriously?
Help me.
Let me take one.
I was in a helping mood. I was in a helping mood. I said, come on, I'll take them.
I don't need help.
Oh, in that case, take both.
I mean, Mike,
go ahead.
Can you mow my lawn, Dylan? Right. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I need some hedges trimmed.
Chaz, I was impressed. One on either arm, you know, bringing it up. That you did good.
Yes, thank you.
Look at that, see?
But I just wanted to thank you for coming out and doing the story.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. No, it was our pleasure. I mean, as soon as we heard what had happened, we said, how can we somehow get involved? And I think at the time, the GoFundMe was at $50,000, and then that goal was $100,000. Then throughout the day, it goes, well, now it's at $150,000. Now it's at $175,000. How high can we get?
Now it's $132,000.
Yeah.
Right. The goal is at $175,000, I think, right?
Yep.
So how can we, you know, continue to help? And, you know, Pub 67 getting involved, taking some of the donations, people dropping off donations at the house, it's great. And Randy's attitude the whole time, I think that was a big part of our story at 5 o'clock, was her attitude that she was trying to stay positive, that she had this great support system, and that she considered herself even a little lucky that, of course, she was able to get out alive, that her son wasn't there at the time, and she was able to get to a safe place with her neighbors. Obviously, unfortunately, watching all this unfold, but that she was okay. And that she has this great team around her, I think, was a huge part of the story. And obviously, you know, a lot of help coming today as well. I did want to mention, I got an email late last night from another single mom, another nurse who lives in the area, who said that her son just went off to college. She's got an open room if Randy and Riley wanted to stay with her through Thanksgiving. Now, obviously, it seems she's got other plans in the works for a place to stay, but what a generous, just generosity from this community.
Yeah.
Offering to have Randy and Riley stay until late November, I think, was just unbelievable. And Chaz mentioned it in our story that these, you know, your listeners are just unbelievably generous.
It's true.
And really, the most generous group of individuals
hands down, on the planet.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
And they prove it every single time.
Exactly.
Dylan, thanks for covering that story. Thanks for coming on. We got to get you in studio real soon.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
We'll do it soon. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Dylan Farron, Channel 3 News. Watch him. He's going places. Tom Haines is on the phone right now, and he's going to tell us how we can thank some of these first responders who saved lives Sunday. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Chaz.
Good morning.
I'll make this quick. I know you have a lot of stuff to cover. I was in Randy's apartment yesterday. I think she's going to be really comfortable. So thanks for connecting us with her. And for everybody, we're setting an area up at Quarry Walk with a storage pod that people that are going to donate to her with things, we're going to be able to store them there at Quarry Walk. So she's going to be in good shape.
Nice.
So right now, a team is setting up at Quarry Walk from 10 to 3, American Red Cross. Salvation Army, they're going to be giving out sandwiches, water, cleaning supplies. They're asking first responders to come by, but for all of the community in the Oxford, Southbury, Seymour area, all encouraged to go down. Tonight we are serving, last night our Urban Taco fed first responders and their families and people being displaced. Tonight we have the same thing. Urban Taco is back at Quarry Walk along with Haven Hot Chicken. They're donating all the food to first responders, families, and people being displaced. So stop on down. I think it starts somewhere around 4:30, 5 o'clock. and it's free. Tomorrow night, we're hosting, we're trying to put together a nice sort of recognition for first responders at Quarry Walk. Char and Lemon and Sitting Duck are going to set up to feed all the first responders, whoa, their families, and families that are displaced. You're even coming down, Chaz, and we're going to try to put something together to recognize. So really encourage the public to come on out, too. Support that, support some local restaurants and such. And one last thing, what we decided to do was throw together an expo. It's called Build Back Community Expo, and we're inviting all of the people that need help to come out to Quarry Walk on Saturday. It starts at 9 o'clock, and we're lining up as many professionals to come, contractors, insurance professionals, insurance adjusters, people to come and set up with a chair or a table to just be there. And anybody that needs help, advice, wants to talk about a service that's needed. So we're trying to do that as well to help the people that have really been affected and businesses, of course, that have been affected. So we're trying as best we can to be part of that community because so many people have been devastated. And I think we're just touching the tip of the iceberg that the businesses and homeowners, after all this news is gone, they will be struggling for a long time.
Right. Yeah.
So everything we can do to help, we're trying to do that.
The thank you to the first responders tomorrow at Quarry Walk, Sitting Duck and Char and Lemon. What time is that running to and from?
We're gonna try to start it around 5:30. And realize the first responders all have jobs because a lot of these people are volunteers.
That's
and
right,
stuff.
Right.
So we're going to start around 5:30. We're hoping to get most people there by 6:30. And we're going to run it as long as people are there that want to be fed.
Cool. Wow.
Amazing.
All right. Yeah. So I'll try to get a sound system for both places.
That would be great. And we're going to try to set up on the green. We're really trying to get the first selectmen from all four towns. We've invited all the first responders from Southbury, from Beacon Falls, from Seymour, and our tremendous heroes from Oxford and Seymour. So, and we're trying to get the first select people to come too. And so we can get out on the green and you can say a few words and we can acknowledge the heroes that truly made a lot of people able to live through what just
saved
happened.
Lives. Yeah. Literally yeah. Saved lives.
Yes, it did.
So
you're doing a great job, Chad.
Tom.
Listen, I told you when I was on it, we're just lining up behind you. So
nope.
It's amazing what you and your team are doing, and we're all just want to get behind you. But please, everybody that hears me, the small businesses that are going to suffer, not just today, but will suffer long from the loss of business, losing their business, their belongings, we need to all shop local and shop small. That's important, okay? Because all these people, they're suffering now, even if they didn't get their businesses washed out. And there's so many employees, thousands of employees in the local area that are now not working. And that's something we all have to please get behind this. Shop local.
I was talking to Tom yesterday, and I haven't been to Quarry Walk since Saturday because I didn't want to be a gawker. And he said, "Oh, please come and gawk and you know help these businesses." And so I'm going to go there today, and
nice.
Of course I'll be there tomorrow. And
yeah.
AJ's coming with me tomorrow, by the way, Tom.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Oh, that's great, AJ. All right, now we hey Chaz. At least now we got the smart guy in the room. Now,
that's
okay?
You and I know.
Now we know who the leader will be.
No,
that's all right.
I make the rest of you seem smart. Get it wrong.
I don't know the statistic of all the towns. I heard yesterday 17 businesses have been destroyed in Seymour alone. These are small businesses.
Wow.
17. All right. In Quarry Walk, we have 55 businesses. It's a ghost town. And, you know, we think, weren't affected. Every business, and I got to imagine there are 15, 20 businesses in Oxford that went out of business because of this. And there's 55 in Quarry Walk. There's 2,000 employees that the parking lot's empty. These are people that need a paycheck. They come to work. And right now, what we all need to do is find our way around the road closures, go spend some money, shop local, go to a restaurant, go to the coffee shop, not just Quarry Walk. Got to do business with all our local people. Southbury, devastated. I mean, it's crazy up there. So I implore everybody, don't think you're getting in the way. Get in the way and go to these places. Everybody needs help right now.
I'll be out there today, and of course I'll see you tomorrow. And Tom, I'll talk to you after the show today. Thank you, brother.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut, on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.